Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to help you get ready for betting the British Open is the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. You can follow him on Twitter at Bill Krakman. Bill, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me on, Rob. I appreciate it. Good. Yeah, fun stuff happening here. I feel it in the air. People are usually bored this time of the year. Oh, the All-Star break. There's nothing going on. Baseball's boring. And I thought the batting, the home run thing was great. I know it was a little bit long and drawn out, but I thought it was pretty good. How the kid Mancini was you know, after getting over cancer and coming back to be in the finals, I thought it was really good. It was fun. It was a fun time.
100% love the storyline there. First thing I'm curious about from you is actually the past majors. What have you learned from watching the first three majors of the year? Because certainly you're a professional sports bettor, you know a ton, but I want to hear from sort of like, what do you observe and how does that help you be a more informed bettor come the British Open?
Anything can happen. Phil Mickelson at 300-1, John Rahm at 8-1. So, I mean, anything can happen and anything will happen. And learning from the past, I guess, sure. Especially this kind of a tournament here where this is going to be played. Last year, you know, we didn't have a British Open. They want to not call it the British Open. They call it the Open. Last year we didn't have that. So people didn't want to travel across the pond. This year we're back. And I look forward to it, though. And you could learn some things off the past, of course. But you have to know that me being an advantage better, even though John Rahm did win it, listen, some places had him at 7-1 or 8-1, which is crazy. I stay away from those kind of favorites in most tournaments, especially majors. I don't want any kind of a favorite. Matter of fact, I won't play anything under 25-1, 30-1.
So, Bill, I've got to show you some love because you are foundational to my golf betting mindset. From the previous times that you've been on the show, you've gotten me off, not that I was ever on, betting golfers to win and me being more wanting to play matchups. Because I look back to the U.S. Open and I did not have a positive outcome for the U.S. Open. And I looked at it and I was like, well, why did that happen? Because I didn't have a massive card and I played some top 10, top 20s on certain golfers. So I had a cluster, let's call it 7 golfers in a few matchups. And Tony Finau doesn't get a top 10. So there goes the 10, there goes the 20 and some of those. So it wasn't positive there. And I sat back and I was like, all right, well, what can I do to be a more positive bettor come the British Open, knowing that we're dealing with a ton of randomness, which to me, when looking at the U.S. Open, there's a lot of randomness to it because Darren Clark won at 150-1 back in 2011. Ben Curtis has won here. So when you talk about Phil versus John Rahm versus Ben Curtis and Darren Clark, there's a lot that can happen. So immediately I'm like, I am not interested in the outright because that is such a crapshoot there. And I'm curious your mindset on how we can be a more positive bettor on such a random tournament.
I want to give you a little bit of a big head here. I'm not used to an interviewer being so savvy and being so street smart. And I'd like to say maybe I added to that a little bit, but helping you. But seriously, you're really, really informed and well-schooled and well-versed on this. You know, you're mentioning two guys. Clark won that. I seen him 200-1 that year. I think it was 2011. And you mentioned Ben Curtis. Ben Curtis won this in 2003, and he was like 300-1. So had some really long, long shots here in the past. And you have to remember, even the last time we were across the pond 2 years ago, my buddy Casey Kerr, who's been a caddy for many of the top players in the world. I mean, he caddied for almost everyone you could possibly think of. That's big names in the game, from Payne Stewart to Arnold Palmer to Vijay Singh. Just ridiculous names he's caddied for. I was on a show with him, and he gave out 100-1 on the previous winner, which was 2 years 2 years ago. The name just skips me for now. But yeah, so I mean, this has been some giant long shots here over the years. And, you know, for someone to be John Rahm this week, I've seen him 7.5-1 and 8-1. Ridiculous. No one should be. I want to bet the no. Well, we do have a sports book here in Vegas that we actually could bet the no, by the way, which is really a rare thing. Most places just put the odds on a golfer to win. And by betting into that field alone, think about the variables we have to get over here. You have to beat, all these other golfers, professional golfers in a very, very random tournament that long shots come out. There's so many different things that are happening. And now you have to bet into something, a futures market with 30, 40, 50% hold. I mean, if you bet matchup head to head, it's a 4.5% house edge compared to a hold of 50%. It's ridiculous. Now, I do bet some futures once in a while because I have many different places to scout out the lines and see the line. So if I have 10 different places where I can find someone like, this week, for example, I like a guy named Webb Simpson. I think Webb is, even though he hasn't done nothing recently so great, I think this maybe sets up for him at the odds that they are. I've seen him at 70-75 to 1 out here. So I know that I see certain sports books I'll look at. He's 50-1, 40-1. I've seen 40-1. Now I found a sports book 75-1. I know I'm not part of that 50% hold. I could bring it down to single digits. So very important for me if I do bet a future is that I'm going to have a lot of different places to look at these futures. I'm going to have a lot of different places to shop futures, which is very, very important. You definitely want to shop lines all the time. I know I'm a broken record talking about that, but I just know that, for example, oh, and the name is, by the way, Casey Kerr gave a Shane Lowry live on air on the day before the Open 2 years ago. And Lowry was 100-1 in the casino I was in, but yet he was 50-1 at some of the other casinos. Doesn't sound like a lot, right? If you bet $100, you're winning $5,000 instead of winning $10,000. We're talking real money. So I just want to point that out, that I really don't want you guys going out there going crazy. The sportsbooks hate me for this, but I'm not here for the sportsbooks. I'm here for Joe Public. I'm here for you guys. I'm on your side. Like I always say, when you're broke in the end, see if you can go to the sportsbooks. See if they'll give you a stick of gum. I can't even get a bottle of water now. You try to get a bottle of all these outside source sports books. You go to get a drink comp. It's a thing of the past. It's not like it's totally different now here in Las Vegas. Jersey books, forget it. Good luck getting a drink comp. That's over. That's a dinosaur. It's all over. So anyway, going back to my main source of what we're talking about here, you really want to stick to the head-to-head betting unless you have plenty of outs. Now, to be real blunt, people come into Vegas, how can you not have plenty of outs? They want to, let's say they come into town, they stay at the Mirage, all right? And they're going to stay, my buddy Don Presser is a big host there, big time host. So they stay there with Don, stay at the Mirage, sit in the sports book, everything's happy. And that's the only thing they have to bet at is the Mirage. No, it's crazy. Walk across the street to Casino Royale, Fun William Hill, walk across the street to a different sports book. Like you can go, Caesars next door is, oh, it's also William Hill. But you can go stations. I'll tell you, here's the three key sports books. If you're going to bet in Las Vegas, key three sports books to bet during the season. I'm talking more like throwing football and basketball when they have odds on teams. You want to have William Hill funded. You want to have stations funded. And you want to have Boyd funded. Those three are the biggest square books in town, which means you're going to get extra half a points on games. Now, they're so square sports books that they threw me out. I'm not even allowed to bet on them. They're so scared of someone like me, a professional, and they don't have the proper staff to handle professionals. They just want you to come in and lose your money like a sucker. It's not me. I'm not going to do it, guys. So, but you guys coming in, you should bet at these places. They have great lines for the football, basketball season. Now, we're talking about the British Open here in golf. They don't have the greatest line on futures. For futures, you want to more stick to the, believe it or not, this is going to be, these are square sports books, but the Jersey books, DraftKings and FanDuel, very, very fair, very competitive pricing. Points bet, very competitive. So to have them in your arsenal is very good. When you're over here, you want to have Circa, Westgate. You want to have them in your arsenal because you'll see the difference in the lines there on the future prices. We're not talking about games and head-to-head matchups. We're talking about future prices now. So I just mentioned a whole plethora of sports books.
Wonderful. Yeah. So, Bill, I got a question for you. So you mentioned you want plenty of outs. So you talk about Webb Simpson 70-1, or one name that's very high profile, Bryson. We see him at plus 3,500. Big number for someone. To put that into perspective, that's the same odds as Tommy Fleetwood to win it all. It's not saying that we like Bryson. It's just more of an example. So you're sitting there, maybe you've got a Bryson to win ticket. Maybe you've got a Webb Simpson to win ticket. So now we're getting into third round or final round, and knowing that they could both finish second and those are losing bets. What is your out if you're holding a Webb Simpson ticket and he's in contention in the final day? Is there a way to hedge it, or what is your mindset so that that Webb Simpson doesn't end up being a zero?
Well, that's a good, it's a really good point and a good question. I myself, I'm a positive EV player. I don't like hedging. If I have something at 70-1 and it comes down to the last day and he's in the top three, I'm not one that likes to hedge and bet the other way, because now you're betting a negative EV. You're betting it. Now, there is situations that you want to bet into a fourth day pool or a final day pool. Maybe you have a long shot, which means a lot of money to you. And 70-1 is a long shot, and it does mean a lot of money to a lot of people, I understand. So you want to maybe hedge and, you know, make a profit somewhere, but I just hate to give the bet into that pool and bet someone at 5-1 that day, which it's going to be, by the way, 5-1, 8-1, when I know he was 100-1 before the tournament. Or even so, I know 5-1 is not the right price. 5-1 should be, you know, 10-1. 8-1 should be 20-1. So I'm not real big on hedging, but I understand why people do it. They do it for many, many reasons. And I just don't like betting into that pool again. I already, you know, did my research before, and I bet before at the best price.
Gotcha. All right, next question. Because the British Open is at a different time for us in the States, pretty early in the morning, it's actually a gigantic gift for us. You wake up in the morning, you've got your coffee, you've already got some action, boom, there's the Open. How does that change when you place bets? So certainly we're going to get some pre-tournament action in, but if we're looking at round one, round two, round three, a lot of people are going to be asleep when this takes off. So how does that change your mindset around when you're placing the bets?
Well, yeah, you definitely want to get your bets on Wednesday. You're not going to be able to get them in Thursday morning at 4 a.m. or something. A lot of these sports books are closed or don't have their apps open. So you make sure you get your bets in early. And usually, like here out here in Vegas, we have a sports book that every day lowers their household. It's unusual for futures bets. So we have a book, Circa Downtown. I hate to give them so much credit, though. They don't give me anything. So, but they let me bet. I should say that. Let me bet. That's one big thing. But they have, like, literally they go from like 20% hold down to sometimes 10% hold on the future bets. Get them in by Wednesday. Absolutely. You don't want to wait. You don't want to get shut out. People think Thursday morning you could turn the TV on and bet them. Once there's a tee off, you can really not find many books that have these things too. And you also, speaking of tee off and tee times, before I forget, you make sure you find out like the tee times, golfer versus golfer, because you want to keep up with the weather. The weather is a giant factor over across the pond. You want to make sure you see your morning tee times compared to your later tee times. Get the weather. There's really accurate weather out there, so you can find out what's going on over there at Royal St. George. You can find out what's going on at the certain time when your golfers are teeing off. It means a lot. Like I said, the weather here is an unbelievable factor. The whipping winds, there's so much. You know, the bunkers are so penalizing here. Let me tell you something. A lot of times if someone hits it into a bunker here, you're going to be hitting a sideways shot out the bunker. You're not going for the green. You can't. You're only going to cost yourself more and penalize yourself. So literally a sideways shot out of the green. So you want to make sure that this is going to favor the long ball hitters. It's going to favor the accurate hitters here. So you really want to be on top of your game. I think Webb is kind of rounded like that. And there's of course more guys that are, but just to mention enough to tip of my tongue.
One of the things I've found extremely valuable, certainly with the way that you've helped shape our golf betting mindset, is around who to fade as opposed to who you actually like, because who you actually like doesn't always mean that it's going to come in, but who you want to fade, I actually like when I'm betting against someone. Is there anyone or a few golfers that you're looking to fade this way? Because for me, fade would mean I'm going to be looking to be betting against them in matchups.
Yeah, no. When we do our research for matchups, we absolutely have guys that we fade, and we'll bet a couple matchups maybe against that golfer. I haven't done that this particular week. We haven't done that. We bet a full slate of matchups, but the one I'm giving you is one that was one I like a lot, which is Webb Simpson. And you can actually go to CrackWins and get my whole list of everything you want, of course, on crackwins.com and the CrackWins app. But this week, we really don't have any individual golfer that we faded, really. I speak to caddies. I spoke to JP Fitzgerald. He is a golfer. He's been an unbelievable caddy for the great Rory McIlroy. You know, at one time this year, everyone was hating Rory. He was a bettor's nightmare. He was doing so bad every single week, and all of a sudden he came back, and not only did he play great, he won a tournament. So this is a great guy I spoke to. He has literally caddied for a lot of players. He's caddying now for Victor Perez. He's there now. He sent me a text. I wanted to know the conditions of what's going on there. So he said the same thing. He said the weather is something that they're really all fearing there. You have to get your caddy in shape. I'm sorry, you have to get your golfer. Being a caddy, it's not just, you know, handing the guy a golf club and, you know, giving him a suggestion here. There's a mental game there too. My buddy Casey Kerr, he would tell Vijay Singh and tell these guys, and listen, you're a stronger golfer than that. He would pump them up. This guy is one of the best caddies in the game. He's giving them advice out there also. And let's just face it, let's call it what it is. He's stroking their ego to make sure they don't forget who they are. So it's good to have a guy like that text me. And he just texted me all the information that he feels that's going on there. He also sent me he said the rough is going to be, you know, pretty high this year. It's very awkward. It's going to be higher. They're going to play. Listen, these holes are going to play longer and tougher than they ever have. So that's another reason why I cannot bet one of these favorites. I'm not going to be betting someone that's under 20-1. And, you know, I looked at the lines here, even Circa's lines I looked at before we came on air. I mean, there's 15 guys that are 22 or 23-1 or less. I'm not betting that at this kind of a situation. But there's no way I'm betting a favorite. I don't recommend anyone bet favorites. You want to bet a favorite? Listen, have fun with it. You have your fan favorite. You better just put a little peanut on it, though. You better put no serious money on this. And I say this even after John Rahm just won a major as a favorite. So,
okay, so knowing that the public loves to bet favorites and we're not going to do it for them to win the tournament, but guess what? Someone's going to sit there and say, but Rob, I still want to root for Jordan Spieth or Brooks. So does that mean we should look immediately to the matchup side of things? But if so, the challenge that I have is I'm not exactly feeling all warm and fuzzy where they're like, hey, you can choose between Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy, both sitting there plus 1,800. So now it's a coin flip. So from an entertainment standpoint, I get it. So of the favorites that we're looking at, it, if we're going to try and chop this up and say, hey, I want to root for some of them, even though if it's not in the overall, what's the best way we should do it?
Well, listen, before I'm going to hit on this again, here's some great golfers. Tiger Woods, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, probably my favorite of all time. Those three guys have something in common. They've never won over here. They've never won across the pond. These are the greatest golfers of all time. So just, I know you guys want to bet those guys that you want to bet the fan favorites and you want to bet, you know, you mentioned DeChambeau, you know, even though he's a fan favorite, I seen him at 40-1 this morning. So kind of interesting too, but going back to the guy you said, Spieth, actually, he is someone on my team like Spieth this week. So I immediately went and looked at his odds and the best I seen was 21-1. I'm like, God, this guy, but he's been, you know, I've had Spieth this year a couple times. When he was even lower odds, I did bet him because I thought he was going to be – he wasn't against the great competition that he is this particular week. So, yeah, maybe you will want to look in matchups and head to heads on some of your favorite play on some of your favorite players. Listen, I know you're only going to get 1-1 back, but think about it. So you could bet John Rahm was probably the hottest guy on tour. You could bet John Rahm against a player and lay $1.30 or $1.40, and you're 1-1 you're getting back. Or you could bet him to beat 150 golfers and get back 7.5-1. It's crazy. It's crazy. So, yes, I would look at your – if you want to be a fan and a fan favorite, you have your favorite golfers you want to root for, I would look for them. You know, in matchup, like you're saying, something else I've been doing since the last time I talked to you, I bet you I never told you about this. So, well, you know what happened during the COVID, the golf was one of the, if you remember, golf was like the first sport to come back. So automatically one of the sports books in your DraftKings was, you know, they were doing a head to head matchup. I forget who it was. It was maybe Tiger versus somebody or Rory, whoever it was. It was, and they were going each hole. DraftKings was putting up the live odds on each hole, what the hole was, what the whole tournament was. Well, I kind of got into betting golf live a little bit. So I really enjoyed doing that. And I found a little bit of a couple nuggets that I picked up on where you're betting live during that fourth round. Sometimes, and I found it at least twice and during two majors. Now, we haven't had a lot of majors since this, that a sports book is looking to even up their exposure, and they'll dangle carrots there of value and letting you bet something live. Maybe if it's even the winner of the tournament, because they know they have so much exposure on the guy that's in first place, and they know that they have so much exposure. If he wins, they want to get some money on the other side. You could just do basic market capping too. I put up like, I'll give you the book. I really didn't want to give it up, but I'll give it to you. Westgate here in Vegas. I found like some exposure they had on one of the other golfers during a major two different times. And I seen that the odds were ridiculous. Just doing market capping, following the live odds at Pinnacle, at DraftKings, at the other sports books, you could follow it. And then you could just pull four or five different books up. You can see the difference in some of the golfers here. You don't have to be told by anyone what the exposure is. If you're just halfway, you know, have a brain, you could figure out, wow, this guy's 4-1 here. He's 2-1 everywhere else. He's 4-1 here. Obviously, they need money on him, or they need money against one of their guy that's winning the tournament. I found some good live bets, and I would tell all of your guys listening and watching, they should keep their eye on that.
Last question for you. What is one thing that we should look at for matchups? Because I think one of the challenges is, sure, we could talk about DJ versus Rory, but I've actually found the most success on the lesser known players. So for example, like an Abraham Answer or something, where in the golf world, people know him, but from a casual standpoint, you start going down the line and people are like, who are these people? So we have this board of options, and how should we evaluate what we like one way or another? Is there a certain criteria we should think about? Because I'm all in. I want my card to be filled with matchups. That being said, I'm not an informed bettor right now when I look at the 37th matchup and I'm like, all right, Daniel Berger versus Brendan Grace or something. Most people aren't going to be able to have an informed opinion on why you would choose one over another.
Yeah. Why even look 37 down the card? Why even look that far down? Now I do. I crack wins. We do. We're going to have those answers for you. Let us do the research for you. Really. But, you know, we give anywhere from 2 to 5 matchups up out a week. And just to tell you, though, going back to that, though, yes, if you want to do your own research and put your own time in and hours of research, I would go by golfer's form. That's what you have to go by. And better yet, how about this? My guys are probably going to be mad at me here. Course form. Course form means so much. How does a certain golfer do every year on that course? I think of a guy like Davis Love. I know he's older now, over 50 years old. He's not the golfer he once was. No one is that age except for Mickelson, I guess. So Davis Love, I went to Hilton Head every year. I took my buddies down there. I would rent the biggest place and treat everybody down to Hilton Head. And Davis Love owned that golf course. He won 5 times on that golf course. I mean, he was 50-1 the last time he won. Doesn't anyone look at his course form? Stewart Cink won this year. Stewart Cink loves Hilton Head. So you have to look at course form. Very, very important. Look at course form, how they've done on that course over the years. Even if they are not doing that well, this particular couple of weeks, there's just something about certain golf courses. You know, they're literally, there's horses for courses. That's what I'll tell you right now. Course form is very important, and current form also. But like I said, these guys like Stewart Cink, Davis Love, just thinking of Hilton head off the top of my head. This guy just won again at 80-1, 100-1. This guy's won here a couple times. Don't they look at to realize that the course form means something? So I would look at course form even for these guys that you're mentioning, like the 35th, there's a ton of matchups. And there's sports books that have unique matchups, not just the Dom Best rotation. They have their own in-house matchup. I would look at that too, and also look, just real simply, look back to see how the golfer's doing every week. You can match up golfer versus golfer. Also see if they played on that course.
Absolutely love it. Bill, where can everybody connect with you?
So it's at Bill Crackman on Twitter. I'm on there every day giving out little nuggets of wisdom and information, and mostly food reviews now. But, you know, people love the summertime food reviews. I do a lot of traveling and getting ready to head out again to San Diego and then back east, going up to Connecticut, Boston, back east, Atlantic City. So I'm on Twitter, and also crackwins.com and the CrackWins app.
Love it, Bill. Really enjoyed jamming with you. You certainly help make me a more informed sports better when it comes to golfing. And I want to hear from you. What is your British Open card looking like? Are you like us and going to do more matchups, or are you still playing the outright market? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Make sure to also tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.